Thank you, Brother Jim, and I want to thank each of you for making the effort to get out tonight and to be here, and I would indeed ask for an interest in your prayers for myself and for you, each one of you individually, that the words that I say would be filtered through the Holy Spirit, and that when they enter your mind and your heart, if there's anything that I say that doesn't make sense or that doesn't quite correspond with the Lord's will, those words would be changed, and that the perception of those things would be changed to the point where truly you would receive the message that the Lord has prepared for us this night. I would like to ask if you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'd like to speak tonight about exercising our faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're called in the name of Jesus Christ. We're called to exercise our faith. And that's what we're going to discuss tonight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Fight and lay hold. These are action verbs. And we're going to be putting a lot of verbs in our sentences tonight. And we're going to be putting action verbs in our sentences as opposed to verbs of feeling or verbs of possession. They're going to be action verbs because that's what this is all about. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and these suggestions are not in any particular order other than the order that that came to me as I was writing them down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's some action verbs in here. What's the first one? Study. It's something that we need to do. It's one of the ways we can exercise our faith is that we can read God's word and come to a better understanding of what we have faith in. What do we believe? Study to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Kenny's a workman. I watched him work. He doesn't work by leaning on his ladder and hoping that the window's going to get fixed. He gets up on that ladder and he goes to town. I watched him do it. He's a workman. He's using action verbs out there. Hammer verbs and drill verbs and all of those things. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Donnie and I were talking a little just right before the service about when we stand before the judgment bar of God. There are going to be things come to our remembrance. And we were talking about people that have total recall, people that remember everything that ever happened. And we had the conjecture that when we're standing before God, we're going to have total recall. And when we're standing there, we don't want to be ashamed of our actions. So we're going to remember those things that we haven't repented of. So there's another action verb, repent, something that is a definite action that we need to accomplish. Rightly dividing the word of truth, taking the word of truth, God's word, and studying it and then putting it to use in our lives, rightly dividing that word of truth. Chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I just love watching these little bitty kids. They came out of the little class this morning, and they all had, did you see them with their little Joseph's coats? Did you see those? Those were so cool. You know, and they knew the story, and they had something that they could show for it that helped them to remember these words, these stories, these holy scriptures. And they're starting at a very young age, a very early age. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's an extremely important verse. All scripture. That means all the words in these two books is given by inspiration of God. That's why we can't pick and choose and say, well, I'm going to hang my hat on this verse and I'm going to kind of ignore that one because I don't believe it. It doesn't go along with my worldview. Well, you can't do that. We can't do that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What we believe, our doctrines, what is the doctrine of Christ? For reproof and correction. Getting ourselves in line with God's will and what God's word says. And sometimes it's pretty brutal. But that's for us to face. And for instruction in righteousness. What is the right path? What is that straight and narrow path? And how do we get on it? And how do we stay on it? That, for the purpose of, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that we can be that workman who's unashamed when we stand before God. Our sins can be forgiven. And if your sins are forgiven, then you're perfect. At least for that moment. The next moment we might sin again. But perfection is possible only through Jesus Christ, only through His mercy. But it requires an action verb to get there. Repentance. Repentance. Next book, Titus, chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What comes out of our mouth is very important. We can do wonderful things with our words, and we can do horrible things with our words. So here's an action. Speak sound doctrine. Speak the things that are consistent with God's word. Verse 7. In all things, in everything that you do, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. This is one of the reasons why it's important that we be careful what we say. that what we say is consistent with God's word. Because there's a whole world out there watching you as a Christian and just waiting for you to say or do something that's inconsistent with your belief so they can catch you in it. Aha! You Christians are all alike. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites. You say one thing, you do something else. And in doing that, we shame Jesus Christ. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And an attitude of striving always to do the right thing. Chapter 3 of Titus, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. This is a little heads up. He's saying, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you, and I want you to, this is true, and I want you this to show forth in your life. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Careful. We need think before you speak. Think before you act. Pray about it. What am I doing? Am I going to say something that shames God? I just got off the phone with Time Warner customer service because my internet went down. Well, I wasn't real pleased with the response I got. And I could have told her that in no uncertain terms. But that doesn't show a pattern of good works. That shows a pattern of impatience, of, if you will, pride. I'm more important than all your other customers that you're going to wait on Monday and Tuesday and put me off till Wednesday. Shove all those people out of the way and fix my problem on Monday and the rest of them can wait. No. It's just comes with the territory. Let's go to James, chapter 2, words we're all familiar with. Remember, we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. We're talking about putting our faith in action. James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? And that's a legitimate question. Can you be saved if what you do does not reflect what you believe? The example. If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed, God loves you, everything is wonderful, it's a beautiful day, enjoy. Have faith. I have faith. Let me share my faith with you. What we need to do is share our food with them. And in so doing, we're going to show our faith. This must be a man of God. He's willing to sacrifice for me. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, can we be saved if we have just good works? Will good works save us? Well, I'm a good, I had this discussion with somebody once. He said, I don't see any need for religion. He said, I'm a good person. I do good things. I'm nice to people. I love my wife. I don't cheat on my wife. I support my family. I love my kids. I do anything for them. I give you the shirt off my back. I said, yeah, you're a good guy. Why do I need religion? Because God wants us to testify before the world that everything we are and everything we have and everything we ever will be comes from Him. And that we need to show our gratitude to Him by showing our faith. Let's turn in the Book of Mormon to 1 Nephi chapter 2. And here is an example of faith in action. 1 Nephi chapter 2, starting at verse 12. On page 17 of the Book of Mormon. And it came to pass that as we journeyed in the wilderness, behold, Laman and Lemuel and two of the daughters of Ishmael and the two sons of Ishmael and their families did rebel against us. Yea, against me, Nephi, and Sam, and their father Ishmael and his wife and his three other daughters. And it came to pass in the which rebellion they were desirous to return unto the land of Jerusalem. And now I, Nephi, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, therefore I spake unto them, saying, yea, even unto Laman and unto Lemuel, behold, ye are mine elder brethren, and how is it that ye are so hard in your hearts and so blind in your minds that ye have need that I, your younger brother, should speak unto you, yea, and set an example for you? How is it that ye have not hearkened unto the word of the Lord? How is it that ye have forgotten that ye have seen an angel of the Lord? Yea, and how is it that ye have forgotten what great things the Lord hath done for us in delivering us out of the hands of Laban, and also that we should obtain the record? Yea, and how is it that ye have forgotten that the Lord is able to do all things according to His will for the children of men? If it so be that they exercise faith in Him, wherefore let us be faithful to Him. Nephi said to his brothers, we've been blessed beyond measure, far more than we deserve. But yet, you're not showing your gratitude to God in the way you're living and in the way you're behaving. We need to exercise our faith in God. Show unto Him our gratitude. Verse 26. And it came to pass that when I, Nephi, had spoken these words unto my brethren, they were angry with me. They didn't like that. They didn't want to hear that what they were doing was wrong. Just leave me alone and let me sin, because that's what I want to do. But Nephi cared for his brothers. He loved them. He wanted them to come out of their sin and exercise their faith, exercise the faith they had when they were visited by an angel. My brethren were angry with me, and it came to pass that they did lay their hands on me, for behold, they were exceeding wroth, and they did bind me with cords, for they sought to take away my life, that they might leave me in the wilderness to be devoured by wild beasts. But it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, according to my faith, which is in thee, wilt thou deliver me from the hands of my brethren? He was exercising his faith in prayer. He was going to the Lord in prayer pleading with him. Because he had faith that God would hear him and answer his prayer. Is there value in praying to God if you don't believe in him? I want to see all your little heads going like this. Thank you. No. Would you pick up the phone and dial a number if you didn't believe that the person on the other end existed? No, of course not. That doesn't make any sense at all. Prayer without faith is just talking to the wind. It's worse than talking to the wind. It came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, according to my faith which is in thee, wilt thou deliver me from the hands of my brethren? Yea, even give me strength that I may burst these bands with which I am bound. And it came to pass that when I had said these words, behold, the bands were loosed from off my hands and feet, and I stood before my brethren and spake unto them again. His faith was rewarded, but he put his faith into action by praying to God that he would be delivered from the peril that he was in. Third chapter of Alma. Chapter 3 of Alma. I'll give you a page number in just a second here. Chapter 3 of Alma on page 315. Alma 3, verse 27. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church. My brethren of the church. That's us. That's you. That's me. Have ye spiritually been born of God? That's a very profound question. We can go through all of the motions of joining the church. We can say we repent. We can say we have faith. We can be baptized. We can have someone put their hands on us. But there's something about it that makes it genuine. I think it goes back to that first step, that faith step. We have to, but before we go any further, that faith has got to be genuine. And then we exercise the faith by repenting, by praying to the God that we now say we believe in, that we be forgiven of our sins. And then we go to that next action verb that says, take me down into that water and make that old person that I used to be dead in that water, that I can come up out of that water a new person, that I can genuinely be spiritually born of God. Have you received his image in your countenance? When somebody looks you in the face, do they know you believe in God? Do they know that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior? And we don't all go around with a little sign on our forehead that says, yeah, I believe. But I think we've seen it. You can look at somebody and you can just know. You can just know they love the Lord. That's something that, I don't know, maybe we need to stand in front of the mirror and work on it for a while, you know, kind of make things change a little bit. But it's got to come from the heart. I think a lot of it has to do with which direction the corners of our mouth go. They should be going up more than they are going down. Have you received his image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? Do you really feel like that person that you used to be is gone and that you are a new person? Then do ye exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you exercise that faith? Are you putting your faith into action? Jump down to verse 46. If the answers to all of those questions are yes, then we're going to continue here in verse 46. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Do you still feel it? Is it still there? Is it still in your heart? Have ye walked, keeping yourselves blameless before God? Are you watching your actions and your words and your thoughts and your deeds? Could you say, this is a hard question, could you say, if you were called to die at this time within yourselves, not to me, not to the person sitting next to you, could you honestly say to yourself that you have been sufficiently humble? I wonder what it means sufficiently. You know, how humble do you need to be? Like pretty humble or kind of humble or really humble? I don't know that there's any adjective in there that's going to work. And that's something that I think each one of us has to decide for ourselves. Am I really being humble? Am I really thinking about the other person? Am I really thinking about God's will and setting my will aside? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem his people from their sins? Can you say that? Can you say that you've been cleansed? Have you truly repented of your sins? And here's the kicker. Behold, are you stripped of pride? That's the same question as, have you been sufficiently humble? But how is it asked? Have you been stripped of pride? Is the pride gone? That's the toughie. Remember the question, could you say if you were called to die at this time? Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you're not, you're not prepared to meet God. And we don't know when that's going to be. That's why it says, don't put off. Don't put off the day of your repentance. Don't say, well, tomorrow or maybe the next day. I'll just have a good time until then. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? Envy is not a whole lot different from pride. Behold, I say unto you that such an one is not prepared, and I would that he should prepare quickly. Just as Nephi had a desire that his brothers would prepare. Alma has the desire that we would prepare. I have the desire that we would prepare. For the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come. for such an one is not found guiltless. Verse 57. Talking about our Savior. Behold, he sendeth an invitation to all men. Have you ever gotten an invitation in the mail? We recently received wedding invitations. And when you get an invitation, there's a certain responsibility on your part to respond to that invitation. Someone has asked you to join them in some kind of joyous occasion. And it usually says RSVP. I'm not going to try to say the French because that's not my language. But please respond. Please respond. Christ said, or this says about Christ, behold, he sendeth an invitation to all men, for the arms of mercy are extended toward them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. It's an invitation to everyone on the face of the planet. If you'll repent, I'm here, and I'm ready to receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me and bring forth works of righteousness. He wants you to believe. He wants you to have faith. But he wants you to fight the fight of faith. He wants you to exercise that faith and bring forth works of righteousness. Another example in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's that day when we want to stand unashamed. That's that day when we want to be on that right hand with the sheep. That's that day when we want him to say, you did things for the least of my people. And in so doing, you did them to me. It's all action. There's nobody among us that doesn't have problems or worries or concerns, situations that you need to deal with. Maybe you don't know how to deal with them. Or we get upset about things. And that's, I'm not saying that that's bad. Because if we weren't ever concerned about anything, we probably would never do anything about certain things that need to be addressed. But we can take it to an extreme. It's easy to be so self-absorbed, so concerned with my problems or how somebody else's problems affect me, or how this situation affects me, that everything's kind of pointing in. We can be so self-absorbed that we can't focus on others. We can't focus on what other people's needs are, or maybe even their blessings. And that's really kind of a form of pride. And that's something that it says we need to get out of our lives. Romans 12 addresses this. Romans 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Let your love be genuine. Let it be true. Let it be without hypocrisy. Let it be without some kind of ulterior motive. Well, I'm going to show love to you so that I can get you to do what I want you to do. Well, that's not real love. That's cruel. Let your love be genuine. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know, that's something that just goes such a long ways. It seems like this is something that we should have learned in kindergarten. You know, how to get along with kids on the playground. I've found in my life that if I'm nice to somebody, chances are pretty good they're going to be nice to me. And everybody that you know, you met for the first time, sometime in the past. And you can make a huge impression on somebody the first time you meet them by how you react to them. Whether you react kindly with a smile and kind words, or whether you're grumpy or hostile or add other action verbs there. Given the choice between having friends or enemies, which would you rather have? All you people who would rather have enemies, just go ahead and raise your hand. See, that way you didn't have to do anything. Of course. I think we'd all rather have friends than enemies. And it's for the most part within our power by how we deal with other people. One way to make sure that somebody's going to treat you badly is to treat them badly. You're sort of showing them how you want them to treat you. This is the kind of attitude and action that I expect from people. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That's that kind of stepping out of self that I was talking about. Kind of shoving your problems aside for just a moment so that you can see through them, to see other people's situations and maybe what you can do to be more sympathetic, more understanding, and more helpful for the other person. Not slothful in business. This goes a long ways. If someone walks into my shop and I'm just sitting back with my feet up and just sort of goofing off and not getting any work done, and they bring their item in and they want it to get it fixed, and they're looking at me and they're going to say, well, he doesn't seem particularly interested in helping me. He doesn't look like he has really much drive in his life. He doesn't look like he really cares about anything. And this is not a good reflection on the Christian that we're supposed to be. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what we need to show, that we're excited about serving the Lord. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Psalm 100, verse 2, says, serve the Lord with gladness. Don't do it with a grump, do it with a smile. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Notice these are all action words here. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be happy when something nice happens for somebody else, and when something not so pleasant happens to somebody else, have genuine, sincere sympathy for them. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. It's easy to think that we're always right. I've been guilty of that. I probably still am to a certain degree. But I think there's a difference between being right and being confident in the Lord. I feel very confident when I'm reading God's Word, because I know that I'm speaking truth. But I've got to watch that I don't give the impression that how I interpret God's Word is always right. And that's the difference. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be open-minded to the possibility that maybe you're not always 100% right. I know I'm not. But you have to be open to that. Otherwise, you're never going to learn. You have to be willing to learn. I'd like for us to come up with some action verbs of our own. I've got a list of things here that I thought of, that we as God's followers can do to fight that fight of faith, to exercise our faith. And part of it is getting involved. We can sit back and say, well, the church really does a lot of good things, and I'm really thankful that there are people in the church that accomplish those things. But we need to be one of those people. I assume most of you have attended a conference or a local business meeting, and we go down through and we elect people to various offices. And all of those offices have got responsibilities. And there are committees, and those committees have responsibilities. And I dare say that there are very few of those committees that probably couldn't use a little bit of help. And that's part of getting involved. I mean, it could be something as insignificant as mopping the floor after potluck. Somebody's got to do it. It's going to get, it doesn't just happen. We have organizations. We have several young peoples, a young peoples and a junior young peoples. Call up the leader and say, I'd like to host a young people's meeting at my house. I'd like for them to all come over, and I'll bake the cookies, and you can have your meeting here. That'd be a neat thing. Do you have a talent or an ability? Share that ability. I've been giving some thought lately to the possibility that we could organize some classes of things that various people know how to do. I'm personally going to attend Bonnie's chocolate making class when she gives it. And there are some things that I think it would be fun to do. I've enjoyed teaching classes at camp, and I think that's something that maybe we can get started here in our local. That'd be fun. Share a talent or share something from your freezer. If you're like me, there's food in that freezer that needs to get eaten. And maybe there's somebody whose freezer is empty. When you're going through the checkout in the store, and the checker says, as they automatically do, how are you? I'm blessed. I'm terrific. It's a beautiful day. You can bring a little joy into somebody's life. I was talking with Glenn Gill the other day, and he said that he was so thankful that there were people who would come and sit with Margaret so he could just go to the store, go do some things that he needed to do. Sing in the choir. A little vested interest in that. I also have a vested interest in Zion's Advocate. And we always need articles or photographs or testimonies. Shovel your neighbor's snow. Make your own list. Make a list and put it on the fridge with all the other lists and work your way down through it. Put some verbs to your faith. Fight that fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Study to show thyself approved. Speak sound doctrine. Show thyself a pattern of good works. Walk blameless before God, stripped of pride and envy. Serve the Lord with gladness. If on the day or in the place wherein he met me face to face, my life could show some kindness done, some purpose formed, some work begun for his dear sake, then were it meet. Love's gift to lay it at Jesus' feet. Thank you.